Hallelujah. At the center of it all, it's you that I see. It's you that I see. At the center of it all, it's you that I see. Oh, it's you that I see. Yes, Lord. Oh, at the center of it all, it's you that I see. It's you that I see. At the center of it all, it's you that I see. It's you that I see. Yes, Lord, there is power. Oh, there is power in your name. With me to the top, at the center,
at the center of it all, it's you that I see, it's you that I see.
Yes, Lord, at the center,
at the center of it all, it's you that I see, it's you that
Hallelujah.
I see.
Sing that again. We sing at the center, Lord,
at the center of
time. We sing at the center, Lord,
at the center of it all, it's you that I see.
Hallelujah.
It's you that I see.
Oh, for there is power,
there is power in your name. Miracles happen in your name. As we lift our voice, it's you that I see. It's you that
Hallelujah.
I see.
Sing it again. For there is power.
There is power in your name.
Oh, yes, Lord. Miracles.
Miracles happen in your name.
As we lift our voice.
As we lift our voice in praise.
Jesus, we praise your name. Hallelujah. We praise your name. See it again, at the center of it all.
At the center of it all, it's you that I see. It's you that I see.
Yes, Lord, you are the center.
At the center of it all, it's you that I see, it's you that I see.
See it again. Oh, you are, Lord, you are.
At the center of it all, it's you that I see, it's you that I see.
One more time, we sing at the center.
At the center of it all, it's you that I see.
Oh, for there is power.
There is power in your name. Miracles happen in your name. As you lift your voice in praise, it's you that I see. It's you that I see.
Oh, for there is power.
There is power in your name.
Voice in praise.
It's you that I see. It's you that I see.
stronger, stronger than the strongest. You are higher, higher than the highest. You are greater, greater than the greatest, Lord. You are bigger, bigger than the biggest. You are stronger, stronger than the strongest. You are higher, higher than the highest. Oh, you are greater, greater than the greatest, Lord.
You are bigger, bigger than the biggest. You are stronger, stronger than the strongest. You are higher, higher than the highest. You are greater, greater than the greatest.
Oh, you are Lord.
You are bigger, bigger than the biggest. You are stronger, stronger than the strongest. You are higher, higher than the highest.
You are singing, you are bigger, Lord.
You are bigger, bigger than the biggest. You are stronger, stronger than the strongest. You are higher, higher than the highest.
One more time we sing, oh, you are bigger, Lord.
You are bigger, bigger than the biggest. You are stronger, stronger than the strongest. You are higher.
Here we go. Yes.
You are bigger.
Oh, we sing, Jesus.
Father, we thank you that your grace is sufficient. It enables us, O God, to stay focused, looking unto the author and the finisher of our faith. It is you that we see. It is you that we're connected to. And in this connection, we are wherever you are. We're not separated from you. We are established in you. And your grace sufficient is empowering us to live life to the fullest. Blessed Father, be your holy name forever. Thank you for another opportunity to be in your presence. Another opportunity to look to you and to be transformed into the same image, from glory to glory. Blessed Lord is your name forever. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to see you all this wonderful evening. It's always a joy to worship the Lord together and experience the love of God together. And so I thank God for every opportunity that I have to meet with you all and enjoy God's presence in fellowship. Hallelujah. Well, this morning, we address a subject I would like to address as I identify as. You know, in a time when people are identifying as whatever, well, I choose to be identified as a child of God. Hallelujah, an ambassador. The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. one who has the victor in him, causes me to be greater than he that is in the world. You know, people identify us whatever they want to identify as. And sometimes they identify as whatever people call them. Somebody says, you're an idiot, and you identify as that. Someone says, you're crazy, and you're poor, and you are full of cancer, and whatever else, and they identify as that. But we stand in a place where we can choose what we're going to identify as. Amen? I am the healed of the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So this evening I want to ask you that question. Who and what do you identify as? The temple of God. I am possessed by God. God possessed. Holy Spirit possessed. Empowered to succeed. Wow. Hallelujah. Now, we can appreciate all of that because we appreciate the Word of God. We receive the Word of God. Basically, when we shun whatever the world says and see ourselves separate from the world, separated unto God, it becomes a totally different worldview. Sometimes we identify not just to the bad things that the world says, but to the good things that the world says. And that becomes our identity. Oh, he's a wealthy man. That becomes our identity because man said it, not because God said it. So if you lose that, then what's your identity? We went through a pandemic, and people were not able to function like they would normally function. If you were somebody that was out there singing to great crowds, stadiums packed out, and all of a sudden there's nobody there, they can't come. Now, who are you? You've identified yourself as this megastar, and now what made you feel like a megastar is no longer there. Now, who are you? There's nothing wrong being a megastar. It's just that your identity was based on stuff, things. So many times we identify ourselves with stuff that we have or stuff that we don't have. I don't have, so I'm poor. I have, so I'm rich. And that becomes a place of great conflict because we are more than things. We are the product of the Word of God. Let me say that again. We are the product of the Word of God from the very point of conception. I'm not talking about conception in terms of your mother and your father, but conception in the fact that God said, let us make man in our own image and likeness. The image of what? The image of the self-existent one. He's not God because he created. He was God before he created anything. Before he did anything, he was God. And so he is able to say of his son, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Who is this son? His word. I'm well pleased in him. Did Jesus heal anybody yet? No. Not a miracle yet. No blind man saw yet. Not a deaf person heard yet. No crippled persons had walked. He had not done any wonders. And God said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Huh? What did he do that you're pleased about? He was satisfied in himself that he belongs to God. And that's where you and I must be. The satisfaction that we belong to God. I am not important because of a title. Doctor so-and-so. Pastor so-and-so. Bishop so-and-so. Somebody asked me today and said, what would you like to be addressed as? Bishop or apostle? And I looked at the person. Like I care. Someone calls me an apostle, a bishop, a teacher. All of those things are what people call. But what is more important is not that title, doctor, and or an honorary. It is that God looks at me and says, this is my son. That makes sense? The word of God. That's what makes you and I important. That's why we must not let go of the word of God. People can strip you of whatever it is that you have, and you can still have your sense of dignity. Not because it was offered you by man, but because you have dignity in God. The God who said, you are chosen. The God who says that you have been authorized. The God who says, I've given you a purpose and direction for life. The God who says, I love you. His word trumps every other word and every other thing. Are we together? So we must pursue after God. The devil thought about Job and said, if you take all this stuff he's got, he's going to curse you. To your face, he's going to curse you. He's going to dishonor you. And God says, you think? No, he's not. Just give me the chance. If I push the right buttons, he's going to let go of you, like now. No. Just don't take his life. Go ahead. I'll take the hedge of protection off. Go ahead. And the enemy went after Job with all guns blasting. Got rid of his children, got rid of his wealth, got rid of his health, and left him with his wife, who was going to be, in this particular case, a thorn in the flesh. an emissary of darkness. The wife says, just curse God and die. Just curse God and die. You know something I've learned? The devil has no power or authority except in the place of agreement. And God has no power or authority over your life except in the place of agreement. Man fell when Adam agreed. And until, hear this, until both the man and the woman agree concerning anything, it will not be their reality. And that's why it's so important that we always pursue truth and stand for truth, no matter what is happening around us, that we choose God, no matter what. Now, somebody may say, well, you know, some people get divorced. You know, the man says, I want out of this marriage, or the woman says, I'm out of this marriage, and they get divorced anyway, don't they? Yeah. But the reality is, if one of them says, I'm not getting divorced, even though the paper says divorce, there is no divorce. That's why the Word of God says there's going to be an adultery. Is that what the Word of God says? Yeah. There's an adultery because there's no agreement. You're still married. No matter what you try to do, it doesn't matter which Supreme Court confirmed that divorce. As long as one of the parties says, no, we're not. In the realm of the spirit, you're still joined together. The power of agreement. And that's why you and I must agree with the Word of God, because God has made a commitment. I will never leave you nor forsake you. If God comes and says, I'm going to write you a letter of divorcement, your goose is cooked. You are in a mess up. God's word. He says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. God has made a commitment to you. Take hold of that word of commitment from God and walk saved. Because there's always an open door to return. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, in the Gospel of Luke, I don't know where the time goes. Luke chapter 8, beginning to read from verse 11 through 15. The Lord Jesus Christ had just shared a parable with the disciples. It was a parable of the sower, of the seeds. And the disciples come to him and say, we don't get it. We don't understand. And the Lord says, if you don't get this one, how are you going to get any of the other things I've said? You've got to get this. So this message tonight is going back to the grassroots, as we did this morning. Because sometimes you need to go back to your foundation. Foundational truth. If you're going to make it. He says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. It is the seed that was being scattered. It is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, they heard the word. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts. Take the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So these people really did not get saved because the word was taken from their hearts. Matthew says it was caught because of the talk of unbelief. I don't believe in God. I don't think God loves me. I don't believe in that kind of a God. Whatever. Psh, taken. Then it says that some fell amongst rocks. And it says, they on the rock are they which, when they heard the word, they received that word with joy. They're excited about it. Wow, that's such an awesome word. I'm so glad I heard this word today. They're happy about it. But then he says, and these have no root. Matthew will say, had no root in themselves. These are people who receive the word of God, but have not identified themselves with the word. The second class of people. They have no root in themselves. And so they believe for a short moment, and in the time of temptation, they fall away. Matthew says, for the word's sake. So the enemy is not really attacking them as individuals. He's attacking the word of God that they believe. He attacks that word when they're struggling. You know, the word of God says you are blessed and highly favored, and you are going through a period in your life where it seems like you're not blessed and highly favored. The word of God says, by his stripes you were healed. And now you're going through some kind of a sickness, and it's not abating. It's just the more you pray, the more it's sticking to you. And now you give up on God because of his circumstance. Now, it's understandable why people will do that. Maybe God is not real. You know, if God were real, why am I going through this? It's a valid argument. I don't doubt that. Especially if you've not grown in God and you don't have root in yourself in knowing that I am more than what I'm feeling. I'm more than my circumstances. I'm more than whatever else. I am what God, the Creator, sees of me. But when what the Creator says of you doesn't seem to line up with what you're experiencing right this very moment, it's easy to doubt. So that's those people. They have no root in themselves, a sense of being. And so they fall away during the time of temptation. Then there's the group three, the third group. These are the ones, the Bible says, that fell among thorns. And they wish when they have heard, they go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. These are the ones that identify with stuff. And says, and bring no fruit to perfection. These are the ones that are so close. They actually are bearing fruit. The fruit is there because the word of God says, bring no fruit to perfection. It's there. And they get distracted by wealth. What's happening out there? I want to be like the Jones. I want to be like this. I want to be like that. They are no different from the person who is poor. This rich person, or this person pursuing wealth, is no different from the person that is poor, because his identity is connected to that. My second son, he was maybe about 6 years old. I still remember the place where he said it. It's in the back seat. We're driving down Leela, going west, going to our house. He's in the back seat and he says, Dad. I said, what? He says, I get it. I said, you get what? He says, it is poor people that have a love of money. No, he's about 6 years old. It is poor people that have a love of money. I said, where did you get that from? He says, because they think about it all the time. I said, who? Oh? Out of the mouth of babes. He was so right. If your focus is all about stuff, that has become your God. How can I be like so and so? Have a big house like that person over there. Drive a nice car like this person over here. Wear that kind of watch. Oh my, that watch. A Timex will keep time just as well as a Rolex. You can go to the dollar store and buy a watch, and it will keep time. So your $50,000, $100,000 watch is meant to keep time just as much as my $5 watch. So you flash in your gold-plated or plastic, you know, who will know? We're on television. If I have a nice plastic, gold plastic watch here that I bought for $5 and somebody else has one that is he bought for $200,000, you know, who will know the difference? Huh? Made in China. What is this? How is it that you are living your life for stuff? You're going to die someday and leave that whole junk. Like Mama says, you've done all of that. They'll put you 6 feet under and walk next door and sit down and start drinking coffee 5 minutes later. That's what, is that what you think life is all about? But why do we act that way? Like that's what life is all about. And we define ourselves based on that. And we want to control people based on that. You want to control who with your money? Exactly who do you want to control with that? That money can fly. You know, the Bible says money has wings. It flies. So, don't live your life pursuing after that. I'd like to show you just briefly a short video clip and continue. I want you to watch this. This is a real life thing that happened, what you're about to watch. He has a sheet with Jesus or money. Only one takes the Jesus envelope or paper. You see that? There was no persecution. That was not a skit. That was something that happened organically. Somebody just showed up and says, take this sheet, Jesus, or take one of this currency. Maybe we should do the same thing here in town with a camera. And see how many people will do the exact same thing. Money, give me the money. Didn't matter how much it was. They took the money. The pursuit of whatever it is I can get now, I can feel it now. I want it now. You sell your soul, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? It could be money. It could be fame. People trade their eternal soul for all kinds of crazy stuff. Oh, I need a body. Listen. I'm not about to go to hell for anybody. No. We had, interesting enough, we had, you know, last year we did, every month we had the word from the Lord, you know, and we'll have a video for each month. Remember that? It wasn't that too long ago. And there was one month that we had, the message that month was overflow. And just very simple video, nice music and letters popping here, there, and so on and so forth. And there was a lot of response. And people got really wound up by that particular video, more than any other video. I'm thinking, why are they getting so upset? Some were calling us, you know, Hollywood. Is this Hollywood? Some were saying things like, I don't believe that nonsense, and blah, blah, and so on and so forth. I wanted to respond, and the Lord says, let them alone, leave it alone. Don't respond to anything. And that was way back in June or something like that. I've forgotten what month that was of last year. And a few days ago, I was going through some stuff, and that video, you know, popped up again, and I'm seeing all these comments. And the Lord says, okay, now you can respond. So I responded to some of them, you know, and one said, I don't believe in God. Wrote her initial response was like she believed in God. So God speaks to us all individually. Who gives you the right to tell us what God is saying? So I said, well, that was true, and so on. I affirmed her, and I made certain comments, and then she comes up with this, I don't believe in God. Because I'd mentioned to her about what God's word means and how God speaks to us individually and corporately. She comes up with this stuff. So I responded back, and I said, you know what? This life is a short life, and we shall find out soon enough whether there is a God or not. I happen to believe there is a God, and you don't believe there is a God. And when we find out, I assure you, eternity is too long a time to find out that you made a mistake. If I'm wrong, I will still be fine. But if you're wrong, your goose is cooked, man. I didn't, you know, paraphrase. I didn't hear back. Because I'm certain she was looking at that statement and saying, wait a minute, I better rethink what I'm doing here and saying here, there's no God. What if there is? And he's right. Well, if he's wrong, he loses nothing. But if I'm wrong, I lose. That is a reality. Friend, child of God, that's the reality. Pursuing after things will cause you to be unfruitful. It is only those who hold on to the word of God and focus on seeing the manifestation of the will and the word of God, they are the ones that produce fruit 30, 60, 100-fold. Oh, how many times through the years have I been faced with situations where I could have quit? But I assure you, all those many times, if I had quit then, I wouldn't have known any of you. Have I had challenges in life, even as a minister of the gospel? Absolutely. Have I ever faced disappointment? Absolutely. But I know the one that I believe in. And my identity is in him. My identity as a man of God is not in how many people I have in my church. That's not my identity. My identity is in the fact that I'm obeying the instruction of the Lord. If my identity is based on how many people are in the church, I'll be depressed. I'll give up and quit and go work for Walmart. Or Home Depot or whatever else. What foolishness. That's not where my identity is. My identity is not in you. My identity is in the Lord and on His calling, in recognizing that on September the 5th, 1976, I heard God's voice. It says, Michael, today your father is going to give you up to the work of the ministry, and I don't want to hear any more excuses from you. I still remember it. I heard it. That's where my identity is. So now and then when I feel challenged, I go back to God. You called me. Remember? I did not call me. I did not say I'm coming. I was telling you I'm not going to do this thing. And you said I must do it. Now here we are. What are you going to do about it? That's where my identity is. I can talk. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I wasn't called by no man. God called me. This is not a profession, an occupation for me. It's a calling. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So I can speak to one person as I can speak to 10,000 or 100,000 people. It doesn't matter, because I spoke to 100,000 people. Now I'm going to feel important. Oh, look at me. I was speaking to 100,000 people. Now I've arrived. Excuse me, please. No, I arrived the first time I started speaking the word of God to the one person. Because I obeyed the instruction of the Lord. Philip left a mass crusade to go to a desert to meet with an Ethiopian eunuch, share the word of God with the one man, baptizes the man, and then experience what nobody else had experienced before. Finishes and takes one step, and he shows up 100 clicks away. Whoop. Now, how do you trade that? Oh, I'm leaving the crowd. What am I going to do now? What am I? No. It's not about that. It's about God. Hallelujah. It's about God. I'm pursuing Him. Praise the Lord. So Paul says to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24, he's talking in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he's talking about how his needs should be met by what people are given and stuff like that. He says, but I didn't want them and what they did to become a stumbling block, so I didn't ask anything from anybody. You know, I just went about doing my own business, and God met my needs. And then he says this, addressing the issue of focus, which is something that every one of us must pursue fervently. He says, know ye not, verse 24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. Run that you may obtain that prize. Praise the Lord. And then verse 25, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. I therefore so run, not as of sentinelly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. But he says this, I therefore so run, hallelujah, As uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, and verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by enemies, when I have preached to others, this is Paul talking now. He says, I beat myself down. Any corruptible thing that wants to come around me to mess me up, whether it is people's money or whatever else, he says, I beat myself down. I will eat, you know, whatever, you know, and oh, glory to God. Did you know they want to get rid of your cows so that you can start eating bugs? That's the plan. Because cows are polluting the world every time they fart, you know. It's messing up, you know. It's disturbing the universe. Excuse me. So now let's eat bugs. And there are people who are working at it, you know, trying to make those bugs taste like your good hamburger and steak. Anyway. Hallelujah. He says, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I am not going to allow anything. Make me a castaway after I've preached this gospel. No, 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 no. I'm going to stick with the program, and I'm going to get through, and I will be established. I'm not going to let anything mess me up. Hallelujah. I'm not going to allow myself to be offended. I've been there. It's got to be about, no, close to 30 years. That I embrace an offense. Because of what somebody said. Somebody had given, Mom and I had given everything. Poured into this person. And they turned around and stabbed us in the back. And I said, forget all these Christians. All of them. If I see the devil dragging anyone down the street by the nose and wants to go kill them, I'll say, hey, brother, help you. You're okay, eh? I'm not going to pray for them. I'm not doing nothing. You're on your own, man. After I've given myself, you're busy calling me 3 a.m., 4 a.m. in the morning, crying, and I'm there ministering to you, helping you to be stable. Now you're a little bit strong. Now you can mouth off and tell me about, you know, I don't understand anything. He has an accent. I say, I have an accent. Really. But when you were in trouble, you called I have an accent person to pray for you. Okay? You're on your own now. I thought I was doing myself a favor. I didn't know I was killing myself. 6 or 8 months later, I was dead. I was dead. I had no feelings. My emotions were shot. I couldn't hear God. And I cried out. I cried out. I was at a board meeting. And I cried out to my board members. I said, pray for me. I feel nothing. I was ministering. Every Sunday I was there, Bible study I was there, prayer meeting I was there. It looked like everything was still the same. And the thing about the grace of God is, you know, the gifts of God are without repentance. So I was still preaching good. Saying what I needed to say, people were still getting saved and healed, but I was dead. On the inside, I was shut out. They prayed. I went home. Mama was already in bed. And I said, I can't feel anything. I'm dead on the inside. And she just touched me. It just, bang, something broke. Something broke. On the Wednesday, I was doing a television program. This is just when Jimmy Swaggart, remember, how many of you remember Jimmy Swaggart? So long ago, a handful, he'd gone through an experience and he'd blown it and he was crying on television. So I'm doing this television program. It was called then Message of Deliverance with the then Vidian cable vision. They used to be on Stafford, at the corner of Stafford and Pembina. Doing this program, and all of a sudden, I'm talking about God's children, and the feelings rush back. And I'm about to start bawling on television. And I said, God, you better not do that to me today. No, no, no. Don't do it. I am not going to cry like Jimmy Swaggart on television. Don't do it to me. But I was the happiest camper because now I had feelings again. And I said to myself, never, ever again am I going to allow anybody steal my joy. I am not going to be offended in him ever again. And I thank God, because from that time till now, I've gone through all kinds of craziness. But no offense. I remember one time, it was my 40th birthday, so that's 26 years ago. 26 years ago. 40th birthday. We had a church meeting right here. And the knives came flying from all kinds of places for stuff, accusations of all kinds of stuff that I know nothing about. People have been sitting around talking and, you know, yapping, and now the knives are just flying. On my 40th birthday, you didn't bring me a gift, you brought me curses. Oh, if I had not gone through that experience, I would be so offended. I was just looking at the people and saying, look at you. What do you think you're doing? You're not going to take my joy. No, 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 no. That was 26 years ago. This month, you're not going to rob me of my joy. You see, when the Word of God says in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 6, Matthew 11 and verse 6, it says, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. I want you to notice that statement, in me. The statement's not just about blessed is the one who's not offended with me. It says, in me. If you are in Christ, You are not allowed to carry offense. The blessings of God come when you are in Christ and you do not allow offenses. Hear this, child of God. This is so true. Don't borrow other people's issues. Let me say that again. Don't borrow other people's issues. Pastor, what do you mean by that? Somebody comes and tells you, this person so blah 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 so and so so and so and so and so and so so and so so. And now you take that and you carry that stuff in yourself. They fix the problem that they have with that person. They don't come back and tell you, I fixed the problem with that person. You are still carrying the offense that they've dumped. And now you are the casualty from their issue. Let every person take care of their own burdens. Don't come tell me stuff about somebody else. Oh, did you see what Sister Sandra did? No, I didn't see it. And I don't get to see it. But I don't you nothing. I'm not going to get tripped by your stuff. I'm called to walk in love. Amen? Not in offenses. Because when you carry offenses, you take your eyes off the focus on what God has called you to be and to do. Paul says, I don't want to be a castaway. He wrote most of the New Testament, basically saying, you know what? If I pick up offenses, if I get distracted and start looking at stuff, I can become one who preaches the gospel and end up not being part of it. Even the Lord said, you see these prostitutes, these tax collectors, they're going to get into the kingdom of God before you guys because you don't believe my word. You're sitting down there arguing about my word. What you believe or don't believe. I want people who just receive my word and continue in my word. Those are my disciples indeed. Amen? When you read John chapter 8, and I encourage you to go and take up your Bibles and read the Gospel of John, the 8th chapter, where the Lord Jesus Christ says, those that continue in his word, they are his disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The Bible tells us, just a few verses later, that the people were there ready to stone Jesus. Same chapter. Why? Because Jesus said, you're acting like your father, the devil. He believes lies and he tells lies all the time. Now understand that a lie, are you with me? A lie is not the truth. So if it is not the truth, it is a lie. It's a fine line between the truth and a lie. The truth encompasses everything that is true. A lie has mixture. And a lie can be your interpretation of what somebody said to you. And you believing whatever it is you believed, not because it is the truth, but because you filtered it from your position of offense. It's no longer pure. You get it? It's impure. It's been polluted. It's defiled. It's no longer pure water. It has stuff in it that should not be in it. Looks like water, but it will kill you. Yeah? And the one of the key destructive things in the earth, most sicknesses that people carry, is based on bad water. It's water. It will quench your thirst. It has bugs in it. That's the lie. That's why the Bible says the devil moves around like an angel of light. When you see the devil, if God shows you the devil many times, it's not some big horned thing with a long tail and a pitchfork. Sometimes it comes like his light. But that's the devil. God found something wrong with that angel. That's why every one of us must be discerning. And what is it primarily that we need to discern as people that are to bear fruit? Anything that is going to distract me from walking in love. Anything that's going to make me not walk in love, I must shut down immediately. Shut it down. It is for your own eternal well-being. You embrace it. Oh, well. Your pride and your arrogance will kill you. Fear causes the truth of God to become a lie. Pride coming into the Word of God will make it a lie. God hates it. When you bring yourself into the Word of God, you make that word a defiled word. And God says, my word cannot be corrupted. It's an incorruptible word. So let's pursue after the incorruptible word of God. And say yes to God and no to everything else. No matter what, no matter what, I must have God. This seed of God's word must prosper in my life. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. And I close with this passage of scripture found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the very last verse. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, in the Lord, in Him, your labor is not in vain. Your labor is in vain if it is not in Him. No matter how steadfast, no matter how unmovable, You are in whatever it is that you're doing. If it is not in him, you still lose. May I give you a homework? I encourage you to go through the scriptures sometimes and look for that statement. In the Lord, in God, in him. Find out everything that the Word of God says in relationship to those three statements: in the Lord, in God, in him. So how can I do that? Find something called a concordance. A concordance. It's a good one called Strong's. Strong's Concordance. Go on Amazon and order yourself a good Strong's Concordance. Concordance. Order it. And just look for that. Just don't go looking for everything. Just look for that. Just alone. It will help you. Help me disciple you better. It will help every one of us. What do I have? What are my benefits in him? What things happen when I'm in him? What kind of things happen through me when I'm in him? What are my resources in him? Find some time and do just that. I tell you what, you don't need to know everything in the Bible. You don't need to know about, when is the Antichrist going to come? You don't need any of that. Antichrist is going to show up when Antichrist shows up. Everything is being set up, your AI and all of that. All of the mechanisms, the digital currency and all of that. Everything is, we are so far into it already. You don't need to concern about, listen, are you listening? Okay, let me tell you something. The script has been written. It's going to play out exactly how the script was written. You're not going to pray the Antichrist off. Fast for the next 20 years. We are praying that the Antichrist will show up. That's going to be the mark of the beast. All of that is still going to happen. It doesn't matter. So forget about concerning yourself about all of that. Focus on in him. Just focus on that. Are you wasting your time worrying yourself about when the Antichrist is going to come? And they're going to give us all marks. You put one on the head, one on the hand. You even put it on your tummy, put it on your foot, whatever. Come on. Give yourself a break. Stop worrying about all that. It's going to happen. Doesn't matter who you vote into power. You vote Trudeau out and somebody else comes in. Antichrist will still come. Get rid of anybody you want. Antichrist will still come. Not because I said it. Just as much as Jesus will still come. It is going to happen like it's going to happen. Yeah? Okay, so we thank God that his word says, because of the elect's sake, he's going to cut the time short. But if he doesn't, beam me up, Lord. Beam me up, Lord. I want to come to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you get the point, eh? Okay. Stop worrying about stuff. Focus your attention. Don't think you're going to control anybody with the stuff you've got, because it's immaterial. God knows how to meet needs. Hallelujah. God can speak to somebody in Timbuktu right this very moment and say, you, I have a son in Winnipeg, and the person that he's talking to might not even be a Christian. Might be a Hindu, might be a Muslim, might be anything, Buddhist. Say, 100 million dollars into his account right now, or you're dead. Huh? Oh, let me Google the name. I don't want to die. I've been dreaming every night for the last month, and I have to give you this money now. So you that were holding back your money, God has looked for somebody else, and the money is in my hand. What do you have to do? Forget that nonsense. Excuse me. Praise the Lord. God is the owner of everything, and we are his heirs. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for the wonderful privilege that we have in you. I thank you, Lord, O God, that our identity is fully in your person, in you. Our identity is not in the world, it is in you. And because, so God, we are in you, we can boldly say, I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm a son of God. I'm a friend of God. I am the temple of the Most High God. I'm a new creation. I am reconciled to my Father. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am Holy Spirit possessed. I'm a partaker of your divine nature. And none of all of these has anything to do with the resources of this world. It's all in your word. The word that makes all things possible. It is to this that I identify myself. And we, your people, identify ourselves. We identify as once loved by God, chosen by God, authorized by God, and purposed by God. By these, we are empowered to live victoriously. And our testimony is glorious. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God for every one of you. At this time, let us honor God with our giving. Let's release unto the God who has loved us with an everlasting love. A gift of appreciation. Just to say, thank you, Lord. That I'm part of your family. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's give unto the Lord. And please be reminded that next Sunday is Missions Sunday. It is also Pentecost Sunday. And how appropriate that the Feast of Pentecost. It's called also the Feast of Harvest, and it happens to be our Missions Sunday, believing God for supernatural harvest. It's going to be a very special service, and I look forward to it. I know God has a word for us in the morning service, and in the evening, we'll have a healing service, a healing and deliverance service, something that God has spoken to my spirit that he wants to do for us as his people, as it relates to Pentecost. And so I'm expecting God to break through this particular issue that he's going to address that evening. Amen? So look forward to seeing you then. And I have an interesting video for you concerning that healing service that I'd like you to see. And please don't get upset by this video. It's a prank. I saw it many years ago, saw it again recently, and I just thought, oh, this is a funny one, but we can use it to talk about the healing service also. So watch this. Laughter is good. That's part of your healing, to laugh. Amen. Whoever came up with that one, that prank was just crazy. One of the funniest pranks I've seen. Hallelujah. Anyhow, I look forward to seeing you Wednesday. We're studying through the book of Proverbs right now. And I truly believe that if you are studying that book with us, by the time we get to chapter 31, you'll not be the same. I won't be the same. I know God is doing something. He's working a work in me as I'm working through that book of Proverbs with you. Amen? So I'm not planning on rushing it. If it takes me 5 years to complete the book of Proverbs, so be it. Takes me 2 years, so be it. I'm not planning on going anywhere else until we complete that book. And so, look forward to seeing you on Wednesday and then on Friday. God bless you richly. Enjoy the goodness of the Lord, and may the Lord be your strength. Remember, you are blessed and highly favored. Amen? God bless you. And good night.